If I were to begin to name the names of some men from our past, names of the like of Henry Ford, Nelson Rockefeller, Roosevelt, Eli Whitney, we could all look at these gentlemen and other men and women that I could go on and on listing names as putting them in a category of great people who changed the world and the way the world worked. I think of the ingenuity of a man like Henry Ford, who through his technique of inventing the assembly line could get the price of an automobile down to the level that the common worker was able to afford. He truly change the world. And so many men who have changed the world, yet there's one that stands out head and shoulders above the rest. And that was the God-man, Jesus Christ. And we've been going through and looking at the life of Christ as we've been going through Mark. And we've been seeing all these miraculous things that he's been doing. And I don't want us to lose sight of why he was producing all these miracles and casting out all these demons. It was not to set up a new way of life for everyone to be able to go out and copy these same type of experiences. But it is rather because the time of God was fulfilled, and Jesus Christ came to show the world exactly who he was. And over the course of the last 3 weeks or so, we've seen how Christ had had the power over the weather, the elements, as he calmed the storm as they were on the Sea of Galilee. We saw 2 weeks ago how he had power over demons, being able to cast them out at will. All this not to necessarily make the world a better place. He didn't cast the legion of demons out so the people of this area would be able to go and walk around in this area again. But he did it and was doing it to authenticate who he was. To show the world at that time that he was the Messiah. And so we today can have proof in God's word of just who he was. As God meticulously had men record all that had happened. So then we can look back and we can say, Jesus, this man calmed the storm. Jesus, this man caused demons to be removed and freed a man. The Word of God is so rich for us. And we can go back and look at it and see just who Christ was. that the claims he made were true, and that he truly was God in human flesh. Over the course of the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at two more occurrences. Today, we're going to look at how Jesus heals a woman. And next week, we'll look at how Jesus heals a child. Again, not just for the purpose of healing, but for the purpose of showing that he has power over sickness and over someone's health, being God. We're going to begin this week. The first couple verses are actually going to be part of next week's sermon, but it sets the stage for where we're at, or as the outline says, the scene. And so we'll see just where Christ is with this scene, and then we'll come back to the first couple verses again next week and finish out the rest of the chapter. So if you would, open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. And this morning we're going to read verses 21 through 34. Mark 5, 21 through 34. Now when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him. And so he stayed by the seashore. And one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and on seeing him, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter's at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. And a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, "If I just touch his garments, I will get well." And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And he immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And the disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pushing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Why is it that we need to spend so much time discussing Jesus? And you look at me and you say, "Well, because this is a Christian church and that's what we do." Well, it's more than that. For if we take off of what Tyler was discussing last week, Jesus Christ is the only way to God. And I say that emphatically, and I say that unapologetically, that there is no way to God outside of Jesus Christ. And we can look at other world religions, and we can find they're good people from a worldly standpoint in those religions. But unfortunately, if they do not know Jesus Christ, then every good work that they do is in vain. So it's important for us to study the life of Christ, to see who this man is who claimed to be God, and to see the proofs of his Godhead as written in Scripture. We're going to take up this morning, take off from where we left off 2 weeks ago. Jesus had gotten done casting this legion of demons out of this man. The crowd around him didn't want anything to do with him. They were scared of him for what he had just done. The power of casting out this demon and seeing this man standing whole. The man himself wanted to follow. Jesus, can I come with you? And Jesus says, no, I have another job for you. You go and tell what the Lord has done. So at this point, Jesus gets back in the boat. And they travel back across the Sea of Galilee. And it almost appears they pretty much get real close to where they had left a day or two before. Because the Bible tells us there's still a crowd waiting. So this crowd who had been there for Jesus' teaching, this crowd that had heard the parables of the mustard seed and the plant, the parables of the soils, they were still sitting there waiting for Jesus' return. This kind of strikes me as odd because they had no idea of knowing Jesus would return back to this place. They had no idea that Jesus was going to return back to this place when he returned. But there they were, the Bible says, waiting for him. When he had crossed over in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him. So he stayed by the seashore. He didn't move very far. And we'll see the crowds are kind of big and encompassing. So during this time, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail right with this because we'll hit that next week, but the synagogue official comes to Jesus and says, Lord, my daughter is sick. Will you come and heal her? And Jesus agrees to go to his house. So that's where we find the scene. Jesus begins walking towards Jairus' house. Bible says then, as they were walking, a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. All right, we have a lady with a predicament. She had a problem. This problem was she was hemorrhaging. Most Bible commentators and scholars will say this is a female issue. So she had this female issue that did not stop. And she had been bleeding for 12 years. Biblically, Old Testament law-wise, this placed her in a category of being unclean. She was, at this point, in the same predicament as a leper. No one would want anything to do with her. They would avoid her like the plague. It appears that she was rather a woman of, at one point anyways, who had some wealth to her. But alas, everything she had was spent with doctors and any other things to try to heal her ailment. As we get Mark's rendition of this, we really see a woman that is at her wit's end. she has nothing. She has no friends. Her family probably doesn't want anything to do with her. Everything in the world has been taken from her. But verse 27 says, after hearing about Jesus, this is one thing that she has not tried yet. This is something that she has heard, the stories of who Jesus was, the power that he conveys. And she says to herself, surely, if I can get to Jesus, he can help me. And she had, we'll talk a little bit more in just a few minutes, she had a real and genuine faith in what Christ could do. Most of us, I would say, practice a hope in our relationship to Jesus Christ. When I say that, I mean we take the attitude of, I hope Jesus will fill in the blank. And we say that with the same degree of acknowledgement as, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. Or I hope my car starts when I go out. I see this woman having a greater degree of hope. Hope that falls into the category of faith. And she said, if I could just touch Jesus, I can be whole. So she comes up behind him and touches his cloak. Now I want you to picture the scene. You have Jesus probably in the center of this almost mob type of people. People wanting to get close to him. People who want to ask him questions. People who have their own ailments and problems and want him to fix. So they're all crowded up against him. As he takes a step, he's hitting people in front of him. As he stops, people behind him are running into him. And through all of this, this lady makes her way behind him, kind of forcing her way through the crowds. She reaches him and grabs his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. As she touches him, it says immediately the flow of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her afflictions. She touched Jesus. She had the faith to reach out and touch Jesus. But as we'll see in the remainder of this passage, not only did she touch Jesus, but Jesus touched her. Verse 30, immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? Jesus did not only recognize the 10, 15, or 20 other people surrounding him who were bumping into him and grabbing him. For those weren't touches of faith. But through all of that, he recognized something happened. He recognized the faith of this woman and how she had touched his garment. Now, again, it's not like she went up and grabbed his shoulders and shook him. The garments back in this day, they would have been heavy robe type of garment, probably made from wool, thick. My granddaughter, when I have her in the mornings, she sometimes comes up and tries to, she'll grab my bathrobe and kind of pull on it to get my attention. I don't always feel it because of the material and how things are. So this is probably something that if it was me or you in that crowd, we would have never noticed. But Jesus did. And he looks up and he says, "Who touched my garments?" Now notice the reaction of the disciples. They look at him and they say, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" They don't understand. All they see is this multitude of people touching him. And Jesus is asking, "Who in particular?" It says he looked around to see the woman who had done this. Again, what are we trying to prove through all this, through our studies of the gospel? That Jesus Christ is God. That he is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He has every attribute of God Almighty. And he turns around and he looks straight at the woman, as he's saying, "Who touched me?" This was a little unnerving probably for this dear woman. I imagine her goal was to get in, touch his garment, and then back away and fade into the crowd, never to be seen again. But Jesus turns around and looks straight at her. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Now remember, there's a lot of things going on in her head. She is an unclean woman. As an unclean woman, she was not to have contact with anybody. And she touches this semi-famous rabbi from the area. This man who has all this commotion and talk going around about him. And just the act of her touching Jesus then makes him unclean in the eyes of the law as well. So you could kind of imagine her thoughts. She wants to get in, touch him, and just fade into oblivion. And Jesus turns around and looks at her, and with fear and trembling, she comes before him and pretty much tells him her story. Only the story is a little different this day. Because she can add to the end of it, when I touched you, I was healed. When I touched you, I was healed. And she told him the whole truth. And in some of the kindest words that she had probably, it's probably the first time she's heard this sort of kindness in 12 years. He looks down at her and says, "Daughter." He doesn't say, "Get away from me, you unclean thing." He doesn't say, "Who are you to be touching me, you nasty thing?" That's what she's been used to hearing. He looks at her and he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And I honestly believe, and there's debate about this, but I honestly believe she touched Jesus and was healed physically. And at the same time, Jesus touched her, and she was healed spiritually. And at this time, she became a child of the living God. Not because she touched him. Not because of anything that she had done. But because of the faith, which is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Daughter, your faith has made you well. This little passage, again, is another proof that Jesus is God. But it also gives us a picture of ourselves. A picture of ourselves as we come into this world unclean. We come into this world with nothing before God. The Bible says that any works that we do to God are as filthy rags. And we come with this sickness that needs healed. And if we come to Jesus Christ in sincerity of faith, not only will we reach out to touch him, but he will reach out and touch us. And it's amazing, as a child of God, when we see this. This woman, in her mind, she thought she was doing it. But all along, Jesus knew everything that was happening. And she could look at Jesus after all this happened and say, "Jesus, I love you." And Jesus could look at her and say, "You love me because I first loved you." That's the truth of the gospel. That we love him because he first loved us. Do we see that? Do we care? I mean, I see a world full of people just as this woman, who's running around in an unclean state, and they don't care. Realize that God loves us. He will give us the faith that we need to reach out and touch Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning for Your Word. And Father, realizing that even another truth of this passage is it doesn't matter how bad we think we are, how unclean our life has been. Father, it matters that You love us. And Father, if Your Spirit is working in the hearts and lives of anyone here this morning, or someone who may not know You, have never bent their knee to You, Lord, maybe they've said a prayer, maybe they've walked an aisle, but Lord, they have never submitted to You. They have never reached out to touch Your cloak. Father, may we know that the sickness that we have is a sickness that we were born with. Father, it's a sin nature that keeps us from You. Father, we need to be healed of our sin disease. May You show us through Your Word just what it is that we need from You. Lord, I thank You for those here this morning who have bowed their knee to You, who have You living in their hearts and lives. Father, those that see themselves as no longer living themselves, but having You live within them. Father, continue to grow us. Father, continue to make our dependence upon You even greater. Lord, as we give You the honor and glory, as we allow You to increase and ourselves to decrease. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.